Open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. While I get hooked up here. Chapter 8, verse 1. Who is as the wise man? Who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and you may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not what that which shall be, or who can tell him when it shall be. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for these young people that like to sing these songs. We thank you for our families and the blessings that we've got here. We thank you for our country. We ask you, Lord, to turn our faces towards you. Turn this country towards you. We ask you, Lord, that we would help us to get the gospel out as quickly as we can to all the world in the time that we have left. Give us power. Forgive us of our sins. Fill us with your spirit. Put joy within our hearts. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Solomon was a wise man. Probably wiser than any other man that ever came around. He asked God for wisdom. He could have asked for riches and wealth and power and a whole lot of different things. But what he asked God was wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. Now that's a wonderful thing. But even then, he didn't get away without sin. He might have been a very, very wise man, but he wasn't wise enough to get away from sin. He had one of his, or maybe many of his wives. He didn't know their first names. At any rate, these are gifts that one king would give to another king. A beautiful girl, they just took her like a slave and sold her and gave him to Solomon. And he had all of these wives. Now, Solomon committed some of the sins just about like David. It's an amazing thing that with his wisdom, he didn't have the sense enough or the willpower enough to tell a heathen wife no. He built a building to a foreign god, which was no god at all, probably a devil, and put it in Jerusalem by the temple of God. Wow, that's a great sin for a wise man. But you know, he's wise. If you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to find some wisdom there. Maybe he wrote many of those Proverbs. But he certainly collected them. And they're pretty good. They're pretty smart. You know, you'd do well just every month or so, go back and read the book of Proverbs. Give it a little insight. Help you raising children. Help you in your business. Help you a whole lot of ways, places. The book of Proverbs is a fascinating picture of truth, real truth. And you can just look at it and it's so simple, so simple. And yet, that's wisdom. To put truth simply is wisdom. And the Bible says he was a wise man. Now, who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Well, that's pretty wise. You don't want to go against the power. You don't want to go against the problems that are around. Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. If you're a wise man, you're not just going to take everything at face value. Right. Solomon was wise. He was wise. He still was a sinner. That's a problem. Okay. Now, where the word of a king is, there is power. You ought to be watch what you do. And look at the book of Proverbs, it tells you, if you go to the king's house or to a rich man's house and he sets a table before you, don't be a glutton. Don't act foolish. Don't act ignorant. And worry about when you're in the hands of someone who has power over you in your life. And that would give us wisdom today. I don't think you ought to talk back to policemen, and I don't think you ought to worry about talking back to judges and stuff like that. Some places you just don't want to go, and you don't want to get into the mess that's there. A wise man's heart, verse 5, discerneth both time and judgment. Sometimes just the right time is what you need. And maybe now is not the right time for you in your certain situation. So sometimes you have to wait a little bit. Now that would be wise in certain cases. Boy, I'd like wisdom. Wouldn't you like some more wisdom? Amen. The Bible says God told him to call, I don't know what I was going to say. Where the word of a king is, there's power. Be careful what you say in front of the king. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Do you understand? He's talking for old people. And you're as young a person, if you watch what happens to old people, you'll be more prepared when you get there, because you're going there.
Yeah,
don't make too much fun of those old people.
Right.
You're going to be there, and you might not be in as good a shape as they are.
Right.
I'm an old person. You couldn't tell, I know. I used to be strong. Man, I was strong. I used to have a whole lot of energy. I had a lot of work. Oh, man, I had a lot of fun. But I got old. Then I walk around with something like that or a cane. I don't feel like a strong man anymore. In fact, I let my daughter do an awful lot of things for me. Bless her heart. She volunteered. In fact, she fought the whole family for it. But she takes care of me and cleans up some on the house and makes the grocery list and all sorts of things. Even when I got spots on my shirt, she cleans them off. I've got a wonderful family. The Lord blessed me. I got 5 kids. All of them do something for me. And I guess Linda has first place there for work and labor and everything else. I call on her more often than anybody else, I guess. Old people. Respect old people. You don't know what they've gone through to get where they are. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I looked at some of these veterans that come back and bless their hearts. They have PTSD and whatever. They went through something. They suffered. And a lot of life is suffering. You're going to have sicknesses and sorrows. You're going to have burials. People are going to die. Governments are going to fall. There are going to be wars and destruction and diseases. We've got a lot of problems. With those problems, there's sorrows. How do you handle some things like this? Well, you just have to handle them. That's partly what Solomon is trying to tell you here. He said, there is no man, verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. I'm sure that some people, when they get to the place that they're dying or are in jeopardy that way, they want to be able to, but you don't have that power. You can't control it. And on the day of your death, why? It's amazing. You're going to die. You ever figure that out?
Yeah. Amen.
That's hard for young people to understand.
Yeah.
Now, when you get as old as I am, it's not hard to understand. There is no man that hath, verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Even though you don't want to die, the Spirit is going to leave your body, and when the Spirit leaves your body, you're dead.
Yeah.
And that's what Solomon is talking about. He's talking about old age and what you have to do. You get here real easily. You just keep living. And when you're young, good. I've been watching the Olympics this week. Some of the, boy, those people are in shape. Goodness gracious. Doing all sorts of things. Fast people, strong people, talented people. Goodness gracious. And they work at it all 3 or 4 years before they go up. Takes a great deal of dedication. But you know, your strength is going to go.
Yeah.
I remember when my daddy, I noticed it in my dad first of all, I guess. When he started going to the filling station to have his oil changed. My daddy was a good carpenter. He was a good mechanic. And he liked to work. And when he started going to have his oil changed for somebody else, I knew, oh, let me look at Dad again. He's gotten old. You know something? I used to do an awful lot of things for myself that I don't do anymore. All right, is there anybody in this room that in the same condition that I'm in? You say, not that much. Yeah, I don't get up on the ladder anymore. I watch that boy go up here and put those flags up. And I'm just sitting here scared to death he's going to fall. That's high. I used to paint houses on a 30-foot ladder on the outside. And I gave it away to Mike Pemberton, my son-in-law, because he has a 2-story house with a big peaked roof. He said, did you used to move this around by yourself? Yeah, I did. That's a heavy ladder, and to move it around, you know, it's something else, 30 feet. But you know, I had a ladder slip out from under me one time, and I started using tent pegs. I put them in and tied my bottom of my ladder so it couldn't slide. You don't want a ladder sliding on you coming down like so.
Yeah.
I don't even get up on the ladder to go to change a light bulb. Now that's a real change, you know. Real change from my 20s. Now to my 87s. Yeah, I don't like those ladders anymore. I don't even like the 2-stand. Just 2 steps. Why? 'Cause I got old.
Yeah.
And that's what Solomon is talking about in Ecclesiastes. You ought to read it and see it. You ought to read it just ever so often. No man hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. And what you are, you're filled with the Spirit. You know in yourself, you are different from your body. You're inside looking at your body. You're out looking out of these windows that you have up here. But you're a person, individual. You're a person thinking. God's done a wonderful thing and He included you. Wow. Neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. It's going to happen. Now, when I was 20, I was doing about anything I wanted to do. And a friend got killed. He was 20. He took my truck, my run, and blew up. I was a refueler. I loved my job because I loved all the different kinds of airplanes that I got to see and to fill up in my years in the Air Force. You know what that did for me? It made me think you can die too. And that's something you need to recognize. Some people don't get to be 20. Kids get cancer. People have all sorts of problems. All the terrible things. Think about it. Poor kids getting diseases and whatever. Some of them are born with different problems. Their life isn't as good as mine has been. I've had a wonderful life. I thank God for it every day. I really do. I thank God for the mercy that He's given me in these years, these 87 years. I had a good mother and dad. Good sister, good family, good relatives. Wow, what a blessing. And you know, I got a good wife. I had a good wife. She was a real blessing. I was a real wonderful marriage. We had 5 kids. Wow, I saw God save my kids, save their lives. I remember when Eddie come up to the supper table. He was about 16. And he reached for his big glass of tea and he just knocked it over. And then all of a sudden he got to where he couldn't hardly talk. And I told the wife, get on the phone and call the doctor. I'm heading for the Methodist hospital. And so Billy and I then, Eddie just couldn't hardly walk either. Big, strong, healthy kid. We got him out and got him into the car, took him to the Methodist hospital. I had a good friend that was a nurse in that hospital. And she came by to see us. And she thought we didn't understand what was going on. Well, we didn't. Verlene was a reader, as I'm a reader. We went, as soon as the doctors told us he's got spinal meningitis. I didn't know what spinal meningitis was. But Verlene and I went to the library and read up on it on one day or two. We knew exactly what it was. And the doctor had told me, he said, we can't help him. All we can do is let him be comfortable. This thing runs its course. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing to help it. Eddie would try to talk to us and he was just blabber. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He understood. Later on, we understood everything that was happening around him. And he was trying to tell us what he was. He was trying to tell us. But he couldn't do it. We went home and we went to praying. We asked the Lord for mercy. We sat there for several days because he was out of it for days. And this nurse friend came in and she thought we didn't understand how serious he was. We understood how serious he was. We asked God for mercy. I didn't ask God for mercy because I was a preacher or because I was an evangelist or whatever. I asked God for mercy because he's a merciful God. And anybody can call upon him and pray and ask for it. We were in a situation somewhat like these people here that are in Ecclesiastes. Not much you can do about it. You can't hold the spirit back. You can't change the situation. And after about, 7-8 days, all of a sudden he come out of it.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
You saw Eddie, he's still going strong. That was Eddie. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. If he died, he died. There wasn't anything they could do. He was all together in the hand of God. And bless your heart, tomorrow you could be in that situation.
Right.
You really could. A little bitty blood vessel in your brain just fails.
Right.
And you're gone. How long about this life? It's fragile.
Amen.
It's fragile. You gotta watch what you're doing. You gotta be careful about your kids, what they play with, what kind of toys they get. Can they swallow them? Eddie Boy came out of it and he's 67 now. And he's down there preaching in Mexico. He had a good retirement. He's still got a good retirement. That's fine. And he's got a mission offering. That's fine. He needs it all. He's having the time of his life. And he's getting old. I'm old, but he's getting old. God Almighty had mercy. The same year, believe me, I had hospital bills 1 year. Billy comes home, says, "Dad, I want to make hydrogen gas in the garage." No, you're not going to make hydrogen gas in the garage. Well, I learned about it in science. I don't care what you learned in science. I got gasoline and oil and other things in that garage, and you are not going to do that. Well, he walks out, walks down the street. Him and another kid have a garden hose in the driveway trying to make hydrogen gas to blow up balloons. Now, he sounds like a pretty intelligent fella, you understand? I had no idea what was going on. He come running into the house, down the hallway to the bathroom, and I hear the water just going. I get up out of my chair and I walked into the bathroom and I said, What's the matter? Well, we were making that hydrogen gas that you didn't let me make in the garage. It's your fault. No, it's your fault for disobeying me and what I told you to do. But at any rate, he's washing his eyes out because it popped up and it splattered into his eyes. They already had white clouds over both eyes. Scar tissue. I let him rinse his eyes out. We took him to the hospital. I told Verlene to call and to tell him to need an eye specialist. I got a Jewish eye specialist that had been a doctor for 34 years. And I said, look at my boy's eyes. I said, how long will it take for those scars to go away? He said, Mr. Kincaid, I've been doing this. I see 2 or 3 of these a week. I've been doing this for 34 years. I've never seen it go away. He's blind. He wrapped his head up, put salve in there, and put him down for a week. We had him at home for a week. Then we took him back up to the doctor. He took the gauze off of his head, looked into his eyes. You can look at him right now. There's not a scar anywhere on either eye. That Jewish doctor told me, he says, I have never seen this happen. God? I think God answered prayer. Now, I didn't turn myself into a healer right away, you know. I don't want to hear about your problem. I can't help you except to pray for you. But you look at his eyes now. He's got some good eyes. In fact, sometimes he'll take his glasses off and look in like a little watch and like that. Blow my mind of the focus he can get sometimes. But that's the mercy of God.
Amen.
That's God answering prayer. You're dealing with something that is out of your grasp. It's out of your ability to do anything about it. God Almighty blessed me and those two boys still going.
Amen.
And he's using both of them. How about that?
Amen.
I like having preachers for boys. God's in control of your life. I want to see if I can get a little verse over here. Said, though it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, verse 13, which are as a shadow because he feareth not before God. The reason why a lot of people are doing a lot of things you hear about and on the news or whatever and gossip, they don't believe in God. They don't trust God. They don't fear God. You ought to fear God. Have you ever thought about what you're doing? You have been given life. You got a life. You were born in the womb of your mother. And from the ground, the food that comes in, you understand there is no other kind of food than what we live with. And it comes out of the ground. I used to have a saying, dumb as dirt. And then I got to thinking, that is a stupid statement. Dirt is not dumb. It may be dumb in the sense that it doesn't speak. But wow, is it marvelous. It's just magic. You know what you are? You're made of dirt. And right in here, in this Ecclesiastes, he talks about the dust rising up and then the dust going down. You're the dust. I don't know if it works out that well but with the embalming and all of the cremation. But your body, if it goes into the ground, is going to go back to dirt. Your body can go back. You're made with this earth in it. With all these different elements and whatever. Dirt is absolutely marvelous. Think of the things that grow from it. And you grow from it. You part of it. I think it's an amazing thing. And it really blew Solomon's mind. He had an appreciation of God. because of the dust rising up and then settling again. He's talking about life. You are made up of all those elements in this world, in this dirt. Your mother eats the food. It goes through her body. It goes into your body. Miraculous. You think that's an accident? I think some people think of it as an accident. I don't think it's an accident.
Right. Amen.
I think it's a creation.
Yeah.
And I think it's a marvel. Dumb is dirt. Dirt's not dumb. Dirt is marvelous. Now, I'm not a farmer. My daddy was a farmer, but I'm not a farmer. I had a few gardens that were pretty good. But you know something? I've got an appreciation of God. The more I know of Him, the more I learn of Him, the bigger He gets. Is He that way with you? I'm saved. I got saved because a friend got killed. That really shook me. 20-year-olds can die too, and you would have done the same things he did when you turned the gas on. But I didn't die, and he did. And I thought, 20-year-olds can die. Well, bless your heart. I didn't want to go to hell. And I got saved. Surrender to preach. 67 years ago, a little more. Man, that's a long time. But you know, I've been really blessed. He says in chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look out of the windows be darkened. What's he talking about? He's talking about getting old. He's talking about getting weak. He's talking about grinders, that's teeth. They're few, they come falling out. Those that look out of the windows be darkened, that's eyes. You gotta have glasses, and some of you can't see with glasses. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. When you're young and vibrant and mostly you're strong and you're able to do things and run to do things. When you get old, you don't even want to. Strong men shall bow themselves. Grinders cease because they're few. Those who look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding is low, your hearing's going bad. And sleep, he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. Goodness gracious. And the daughters of music. You can't enjoy the music as you could. You get old. Go visit some of these nursing homes. Go visit and see the condition of some of these people. They're still alive. They're being taken care of. Maybe their money is being spent on just keeping them care of. But vanity of vanities of the preachers, all is vanity. He studied everything. This is a smart man. This is a very smart man. Wisdom. Well, he's got wisdom. At verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. He's talking about death. He's talking about your life right now is as dust coming up. And he's talking about in death, dust returning to the earth. Isn't that an interesting thought? You really are. You're really made of the elements of this earth here. What a miraculous thing. What a tremendous thing that God could take that and do what He's done. Why? You've had some wonderful times in your life already. You got some things you really like to do. Praise God that He's given you a life with joy and peace, strength. Some of you guys walking around flexing your muscles. I remember when Roland, we used to always come in and want to arm wrestle me. You're going to die.
Yeah, amen.
And what you are is made up in this body from the elements of this world that we have right here and now. And it's dust, according to the Bible, according to Solomon. And the dust rises up. And the dust is risen in you right now, but it's going to go back to the dust.
Yeah,
isn't that something? That's an interesting thought, I thought. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. I don't want to leave you on such a bad, sad note. Every Christian ought to be familiar with Philippians. Four little chapters, and you don't read them often enough. You ought to read them. Here's chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. When? Always.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through, no matter what the burdens that you have, rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, are you a moderate man? My daddy was a moderate man. He always thought I was too extreme. He did his best to moderate me a little bit. Bless his heart, he burdened for me. He worried about me. Yeah, he was a moderate man. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Verse 5, the Lord is at hand.
Yeah.
The Lord is at your hand. You speak to Him every day. You read the Bible and you get His message to you. Be careful, verse 6. This is Philippians 4, 6. Listen to this. Some of you really need this. Be careful for nothing.
Yeah.
Cancer, heart trouble, wrecked car, amputation of the leg. Be careful for nothing. What should you worry about? In everything, nothing misses.
Right.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You need these verses. You ought to memorize them. You ought to put them on your refrigerator. You ought to put them on the dash of your car. They're for everyday living. They're for going through sickness and sorrow and death and mourning. Therefore, when the troubles come, and you're going to have troubles in this life. You will have troubles. You're not going to be that one person who just never gets sick. Never has a flat tire. Never has a wreck. Never is troubled by anybody. Not you. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
Always. This is the New Testament. Remember, Solomon is the Old Testament. He's one of the wisest men that ever lived. He may have written many of those proverbs. He certainly collected a bunch of them. And when he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's trying to give you a hint. I've studied all these things out and you can't know. I've mentioned this several times before and I still think about it today. We spend millions of dollars to send this newer telescope, better telescope, out into space. What did it tell us? That the universe is a lot bigger than we thought it was. How about that? God's a lot bigger than you think He is. And yet, one of the biggest doctrines of the Bible is God inviting you to pray. Why would He want to listen to what you have to say? Half the time, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. Isn't that right? How many people talk to you that you really don't want to talk to them? You have to listen for being polite. Bless your heart, suffer. And pastors suffer, I'll tell you for sure. And I've been a pastor 67 years. Oh, will you ever shut up? That's how I'm praying. I'm giving you a hard time. But it's Philippians chapter 4 where you better take your interest. Rejoice, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Did you know the Lord's going with you every day? He is with you and He's with all of you. That's how big God is. You don't realize how big God is until you begin to apply some of these things and realize He wants you to pray. He actually wants what's in your mind. That's something. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't let anything wear you down. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
You know what that'll do for you? Look at the next verse. And the peace of God.
Amen.
Not your peace. The peace of God. God's peace and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Solomon didn't understand it. Lendl doesn't understand it, and you don't understand it, but it's beautiful. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
I thank the Lord for all the blessings that He's given. I thank the Lord for what I read in the Bible about how God is everywhere and God understands everything and that God created everything. He knows what to do about it. Solomon said, I studied and studied and studied and it can't come to the conclusion of understanding it. And that's the way they are today. Even the great scientists, PhDs, THDs, whatever, they don't understand it. What is this big universe? And you are a part of it. The dust rising up. The only food you've got is what God gave you. You can't eat dirt, but you can eat what dirt produces.
Yeah. Amen.
And you're made of the same stuff. Can you imagine? It blows my mind, literally. The more I think about God, and hey, one of these days, somebody came to Billy Graham when he was 99 years old and said, Billy Graham, are you worried about dying? He said, of course not. He said, I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation. I'm going to see God face to face.
Wow.
Well, I have that same attitude.
Amen.
I'm going to see God face to face.
Wow.
And God has blessed me.
Lord.
I believe God has blessed you.
That's right.
And I think if you'll concentrate on His blessings, you'll have a lot happier life. You'll give a much better testimony. You'll quit complaining all the time.
Right.
And believe it or not, it's awful hard to hear complaining all the time. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, now listen to this, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, sounds good, whatsoever things are of good report, If there be any virtue, can you find any virtue? If there be any praise, can you think on these things? It'll turn your whole attitude around.
Amen.
You watch the news, you think about all the people that got killed and got wrecked and whatever. Think on these things. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he's near.
Amen.
You can call upon God.
Amen.
While you're driving down the road, you can call upon God in that chair. You can call upon God even when you're watching ads in television.
Amen.
Call upon God. Call him when he's near. Well, he is near to you.
Amen.
To all of you. Especially you that are saved and you know you're saved. And you're reading the Bible. Well, read some more.
Amen.
When you read it, it'll bless your heart.
Amen.
Lord, help us this day to bring praise and honor to your name, to glorify your person, and to understand even all our troubles that we have and come across. Help us in these days. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.